Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Of Montana, and it's the president and his tweet machine versus Nancy Pelosi. It is all about impeachment, and I say this show is what are we all talking about? And the impeachment word comes out in conversations 9 times out of 10. So once again, Kate Delaney, welcome to the week. And if you thought it was all just a dream last week, oh, it's going to get much worse this week. In fact, Nancy Pelosi put impeachment on the fast track, you could say. So what is that? That means it's going to be an even more interesting week. Think of it as steroids kind of driving this thing. She says she wants to move very fast on this inquiry into whether the president abused his power by pushing the Ukraine to investigate his political rival, and that would be Joe Biden. At the center of the heart of this, if you haven't heard, which of course was launched last week, is this complaint from an unidentified intelligence agency official, aka the whistleblower. The complaint accuses Trump of having used the power of his office to solicit foreign interference to discredit Biden, who is right now the 2020 Democratic front runner. It also alleges that White House officials sought to lock down records of that phone call between the Prez and the Ukrainian President Zelensky, in which the president urged him to investigate Biden and his son Hunter, who had business interests in the Ukraine. The president says he did nothing improper and accuses the Democrats of wanting to overturn the results of the 2016 election. They're sore losers and they won't stop, is what he says. Some lawmakers want the House to decide whether to file articles of impeachment by Thanksgiving. And that's a timeline that could avoid having the issue jump over the line in 2020 into the big election year. So we've talked about this before, but I've gotten a lot of emails about an inquiry and what does that mean? It's fact-finding. I mean, just what the word says on the stage of the impeachment process. And it's what the Democrats have really been looking into for months on other matters that surrounded the president. Since taking over the House in 2018, in the midterms, 6 House committees have been investigating a series of allegations against the Prez, you know that, including whether the president obstructed justice in what was special counsel Robert Mueller's very expensive investigation of Russian interference in the 2016 election, and whether he profited unconstitutionally from his namesake business while in office, and whether he violated campaign laws by paying money to a porn actress before the election. That's in the rearview mirror at this point. This is fresh and this is big. The whistleblower, to me, holds the most intrigue and really the cards at the poker table, because what is going to be revealed by the whistleblower? Not the speculation, not the talking heads on the Sunday shows, blah, blah, blah. No, the actual whistleblower, what are we going to learn that's going to shock us or make us think that, okay, this is lined up and there is no way out of this? I mean, this is the possibility of an impeachment trial, which would be in the hands of the Senate. There has been lots of speculation that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell might refuse to hold a trial. Remember, last March, McConnell was asked by NPR before the Ukraine allegation even came up about what he saw as the Senate's responsibility. He said at the time the Senate would have no choice on the matter, saying if articles passed the House, it would move to the Senate and it immediately goes into a trial. You can bet that little snippet that was on NPR has been surfacing all over the place. So where we are now is in this category of moving forward with the chairman of the Foreign Affairs, Intelligence, and Oversight and Reform, that's a mouthful, committees, giving Mike Pompeo until October 4th to hand over documents about that July phone call with the Ukrainian president. So, tick-tock, that's this week. Then, of course, there's also, because this is a two-week recess for Congress, even though things are moving pretty fast, there's a series of depositions that are scheduled with some of the people wrapped up in the Ukrainian scandal. One hearing is scheduled, and a bunch of new subpoenas could be filed next week, later into this week probably, not to mention the first subpoena in the matter that was sent to, who I mentioned, the Secretary of State, Pompeo, on Friday. That's where we are. So there's a lot of questions that are hanging in the air, and there's a lot of conversation about how far this will go and how this ultimately plays out. And it's interesting to watch as the Democrats proceed on the campaign trail, and the president mostly responds, although he's asked questions about it, but mostly responds through Twitter and says it's more of a Democratic witch hunt, and they've been out to get him and take him down. And the biggest, biggest thing that's being talked about is absolutely this, impeachment. That's what, whether it's in the small cafe in your nook and cranny or somewhere near me, that's what people are wondering. How serious is this? What could come of this? What happens? Certainly, most of us aren't concerned about digging out of snowdrifts. However, that's not all of us. Summer just wrapped up a week ago. A winter storm really blasted the West. In some areas, 3 feet of snow, but there was 40 inches in Browning, which is a town near Glacier National Park. So, a massive amount of snow, so much so that the Montana governor, Steve Bullock, declared a winter storm emergency. He had to. The National Weather Service says the storm is historic and said temperatures in some areas would drop as much as 30 degrees below normal. So where is the snow piling up? Parts of California, Oregon, Washington, I already mentioned Montana, Idaho, Nevada, and Utah also finding that they're in the middle of this too, as well. If you're curious about the SpaceX rocket, and I'm going to bring this up right at the top, because Elon Musk is a love him or hate him guy, right? But we know he's all in, as I'm fond of saying, on SpaceX. Well, check this out. SpaceX spacecraft, which of course is designed to carry a crew and cargo to the moon, Mars, or any place in the solar system and land back on Earth, is rolling on own. They're going to launch a facility in Texas. Over the weekend, he mentioned that the venture is called Starship, and it's supposed to take off for the first time in about 1 or 2 months. You ready for this? Reach 65,000 feet before landing back on Earth. He says it's essential for the viability of space travel to be able to reuse spacecraft. So not just burn it out, burn the billions up, but reuse it. And that way, extend more trips to other people beyond the planet. I don't know. A reused rocket sounds funny to me. Does it sound funny to you? Hang with us, Odds and Ends, coming up next on the show.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment. The Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out, Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
I like to see you right across the floor. I like to do the thing till you call for more. I like to reggae, but you dance fast for me.
Cell phones being locked up before you get to your theater seat. The Pope saying that priests can marry, and a roller coaster derailing, killing two people, just part of what we're talking about in odds and ends. So for the roller coaster ride, wow, a sad story. This happened in a park, at a Mexican theme park, actually, where you had people on this roller coaster, and two people died, five others injured. It apparently plunged to the ground at the La Fiera amusement park in Mexico City. The Mexico City Attorney General's office said two men, 18 and 21, died of head injuries, of course, and others were injured in the crash. And there actually was video, because somebody was had their phone up, that showed the coaster coming off of its rails. And I have to tell you, it was scary. It kind of came around the turn so fast, and then suddenly it was derailed. They're saying that it's a case of negligent homicide, that it had a mechanical failure, that it was decades old. And yes, this was older. This was in Mexico City. But it does make you wonder. I don't know. Just makes me wonder about roller coaster safety, all of that, because we're building them bigger, better, faster, and some of them, the force with which you're blown back on and what's holding you in place, I think, is kind of interesting in a scary way. I don't know if it's a thing about getting older and you're not as risky, where I used to want to ride every roller coaster I could possibly sit on. But now I'm not as enthralled with them. It's very sad, though, obviously, what happened here. The Pope, who is getting pressured to let priests marry because very few are going into that occupation. They're talking about it next week in Rome, that if they're going to save the Catholic Church, this might be something they have to do. In October of 2017, Pope Francis announced that they were going to identify new paths to evangelize God's people in a region in the Amazon, and one of the things that was being discussed is that perhaps something that has to happen is allowing married men of what they call proven virtue to be ordained as priests for the purpose of delivering the big sacraments, which would be in the Catholic Church, baptism, confession, weddings, funerals, especially in far-flung areas where no priests are present. So we'll see what they come up with. Of course, Amazon is a difficult region if you think about the distance and inaccessibility. That would kind of make sense, but there are conservative Catholic clerics who are absolutely against any priest ever marrying, so you can bet that there'll be, if you could be a fly on the wall, there'll be quite an argument on that. Maybe they'll accept it, maybe they won't, but this is something that the Pope believes has to happen, and we'll see. That would be really breaking with a very, very, very long tradition, as in the history of the Catholic Church, needless to say, if that were to happen. But again, it would take a vote. There would be the other clerics that are involved in that, and then ultimately what the, you know, what the Pope has to say about that. As I said, this is a segment I like to call Odds and Ends. It means the other stuff that people are talking about, including TV and how relevant TV is, because now there's so many streaming services. The Saturday Night Live premiere was this past weekend, and like a lot of other shows, it has fallen down. So meaning the ratings for the first one were off. The premiere was hosted by Woody Harrelson, Billie Eilish, with the musical guest, and it had a household rating of 4.1. Not great. Down 30% in adults 18 to 49 versus last year's opener, but it's the opener. Who knows? I think television in general, as I said, because of streaming services, is they're taking a hit. There's so much competition in the landscape, and now it's just a matter of appointment viewing and figuring out what it is that you want to stream. We've talked about it on this show before when I did my unofficial poll on whether or not, we did this about 6 months ago, whether or not you had Netflix. And in this audience, it was really a 60-40 split, 60% having Netflix, so willing to invest a couple of bucks in a monthly fee to watch when they wanted to watch and stream whatever it was that Netflix offered over what was the traditional route of television shows and whether it was NBC, ABC, or whatever. In fact, most of you who took that poll gave a few details and said that you didn't have traditional television anymore, that you really opted just to kind of cut the cable and focus on instead the streaming. So how interesting is that? I mentioned this before, but I've gotten a couple of emails on this Cannabis Cafe thing in Los Angeles, in fact in West Hollywood, and Miley Cyrus is one of the investors in this. They are opening this week a cannabis cafe where you can go and smoke pot. That you've got pre-rolled smokes that are there to be sold and to be smoked from more than 300 dispensaries. And treating it kind of like an Amsterdam situation, there are 7 other places that will open up as well in that Southern California area. Now, we've just seen vaping is one of the things that the cafe is offering. And vaping, of course, is taking a big hit because of the lung injuries and the products containing THC, which is the main ingredient in marijuana. adding to evidence that vaping devices and cartridges are, you know, part of this in the epidemic. What does that do to this cafe? Who knows? But the trend of consuming marijuana on site is not a U.S. thing. It's not a U.S. thing. Tourists who go to Amsterdam, where they have cannabis cafes all over the place, lining the streets, that's different. So they buy pot there, and then it's about consuming it. But this cafe is a whole different thing, and it's about branding. And this is a branding we haven't seen in this country at all. So if it is successful, I bet you anything, it would be replicated across the country. Can you imagine? Think of cafes all over the U.S. that serve up marijuana. Of course, that depends on the legality of it in the regions, and we know it's not widespread yet at this point. But this particular brand, they're hoping that they'll become, as they called it, the Apple Store of cannabis, and they'll focus on higher-end products. Oof. They're even talking about an IPO under the right circumstance. So pay attention to this and follow along to see what happens here. We are living in different times where we're talking about sports gambling being legalized by the Supreme Court, and now more states and more areas starting to come up with you know, ways to profit on that. And now with marijuana being the other part of that buzz, these were like these two tentacles of we will never do that in this country that have turned over. So you say to yourself, wow, what's next and where does all this end up? And especially with the gaming as well, because when you go to Europe and, for example, when I took the show to Ireland, you can bet on anything and they like to bet on anything. That's part of Europe and what they do, that's part of the culture. Will it really be part of our culture where it's very normal to just go in and have long lines and place bets? And could it be the same thing why we, you know, follow the whole coffee thing and line up at that place, oh yeah, called Starbucks? Will people be lining up at cafes sitting down to get seats so they can get that secondhand high and their own high, which is also part of this whole cafe experience? Very wild. It is a whole new world out there, that's for sure. I feel sorry for the people in Montana digging out of those 40 inches, or maybe not, because they have great snow plows there. So I'm assuming friends are rescuing friends. But it's like a February storm in September. Crazy. I'll meet you on the other side.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Top House Democrats talk about impeachment at a Saturday event held by the Texas Tribune.
Following the recent announcement of a formal impeachment inquiry into President Trump and a phone call he had with the Ukrainian president in July, Democratic Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi called the proceedings a somber affair.
This is very bad news for our country because if it is as it seems to be, our president engaged in something that's so far beyond what our founders had in mind. They knew that some president might go beyond what the Constitution intended, and they put guardrails there. This goes beyond any guardrails.
And speaking at that event in Austin, Pelosi also said that public opinion is now on the side of the impeachment inquiry. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Alaruth, the Capitalist Evangelist. I'm here to introduce you to a special company with the potential to be one of the great all-American stories. Fortum Resources is a publicly traded, diversified natural resource company with oil, gas, and mining properties in North America and internationally. Fortum is led by Chairman Mark Bruner, the legendary oil man who built Ultra Petroleum from a 15-cent stock to $200 per share, creating $15 billion in shareholder profits. Mark has 30 years of experience in the oil and gas industry, overseeing contracts with Halliburton, ExxonMobil, and Hess. Fortum has over 350,000 acres of oil and gas resources, and more than half the acreage has been evaluated by world-renowned auditors Deloitte Touche. Fortum also owns the rights to the 180-square-mile City of Gold mining property. Fortum is traded on two global exchanges, U.S. ticker symbol FTMR. Repeat, FTMR. This is a rare ground floor opportunity to capitalize on a proven energy industry legend. Please visit FortumResources.com. That's Fortum, F-O-R-T-E-M, Resources.com.
Standing up for what's right. Helping out when things go wrong. Raising our voices alone or together. Seeking the truth and speaking our minds. Not just making records, but breaking them. Fighting for victory on the battlefield and on the playing field. Seeing the world through new eyes and the earth from miles above. Redefining beauty, brains, and what it really means to be queen. Making ourselves heard on stage and on screen. Showing the way in Silicon Valley. And showing up for others wherever help is needed most. Not just making our mark, but making a difference. Now that's a job for a Girl Scout. Girl Scouts, preparing girls for a lifetime of leadership.
I just want to swim on an island far away from all of the people. I just want to swim in the ocean.
I just want to live on an island.
I just want to eat coconuts
and drink all day, lay in the sun
and eat good food and drink all the water.
I just want to live on an island.
Wow, this is a great thing because this is a place that I've always wanted to go, and now she's making me fall in love with it. Montserrat. Imagine having a villa there. What a life that would be. And then you write this novel, and it parallels your life. Adair Arlen is in our virtual green room on that special island now, and she's here to talk to all of us. Hey, Adair, how are you?
I'm doing just great. Thanks, Kate. I hope you are, too.
I am, but before we dive into this and the book called The House of Tomorrow, what's it like living on that island? It's beautiful. For everybody who doesn't know, she sent me, you wouldn't know this, but she sent me a little video of the place, and I got to tell you, that is a slice of heaven, isn't it?
It really is. It's pure air, pure fresh air, pure fresh water out of the tap. It's spring water. And it's, of course, we had mangoes, fresh mangoes for breakfast, have mangoes almost throughout the year, papaya, bananas, pineapple, which grows on a stalk. It surprised me. Being from Chicago, I'm not used to tropical fruit. But this island does provide just about everything you could want.
Yeah, I bet. It certainly looked that way to me. And you did what you're supposed to do when you write a novel, when you write any kind of a book. You talk about places that you've been, and you used places where you've been. So in this novel, The House of Tomorrow, it starts with a 9-year-old boy named Paul. Tell us about Chicago and being born and raised there.
Well, most of the year is winter, except for July and August, which are very hot. I love Chicago, though. When I was in my 20s, you couldn't get me out of there. There's so much to do. It's a wonderful city. Or it was, anyway. I hear it's not so good these days in the news. However, being raised there was a very good experience for me, anyway. And working there was a lot of fun, too.
I bet. And so I want to tell people this. You worked at Playboy magazine at the height of Playboy magazine for 5.5 years. And when I first saw that sentence, people, I thought, I wonder if Adair was a Playboy bunny. But you worked as an office manager at the mansion before you left. What was that like?
Well, it was never boring. It was I'm groping for words here. I'm trying to be an author, and I can't find the right word. For example, I'd be sitting at my desk in the morning, and some female would walk in and hand me some money. Everybody there was like a country club. You sign for everything. You sign for your meals. Bunnies did live on the fourth floor, so they lived there at very, very reasonable rent. And I'd look at this person questioningly, and she said, "Don't you recognize me? I'm Bunny Corrine," or something or other, and she was paying her rent. So that was an interesting, I would meet Mr. Hefner, of course, while there, although he was pretty nocturnal. He wouldn't, but he edited every word in the magazine himself.
Wow, so I did not know that. Wow, every word in the magazine, huh?
Yeah, he was an editor with another men's magazine. I think it was Esquire.
Wow.
And he asked for a very frugal sort of raise, and they didn't give it to him. So he got some friends together and started Playboy.
Wow, and the rest is history. So you mirror that. You have a character named Paul, because this is a novel, and he has a saloon, a supper club, and he meets this woman named Lily Greening, and she worked at Southern Illinois University. The pictures are so vivid in my mind. And you talk about what that was like for Paul. And what was it like for Paul? He had an interesting job, too, very similar to yours, right?
Well, Paul was a private eye. I have never tried even to be a private eye. Paul was born and raised in Chicago, but he had a very different childhood than I had.
And he was born and raised in Chicago, and then this character goes to New Orleans. Boy, you couldn't get a bigger contrast from Chicago to New Orleans. You threw that twist in. Why New Orleans?
Well, because I too had lived in New Orleans. I went there, and that's actually where I met my future husband, who is now my present husband. And we had it's a very romantic city. New Orleans is neighborhoods and lots of charm. I loved living there.
Yeah, it does have lots of charm. And you talk about living in a place called North Shore. What was North Shore like? I'm not familiar with it.
Well, the North Shore is across Lake Pontchartrain, and it's a lot of people live on the North Shore and work in New Orleans. And so it's just referred to as the North Shore. It's completely different. It's not, there are small towns there. And it's rural, a lot more greenery, foliage, et cetera, than you find in New Orleans, which is a big city.
Yeah.
So it's not too, but it's the perfect size city, I thought.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, you take the character Paul, who, which, first of all, Paul, it seems like he's always planning on this saloon super, super supper club. Whatever happens with the, I don't want you to give away the whole book, but what happens with the saloon club thing? Is that a good fit for him?
Yes, actually it is, because he gets to work undercover while he's there. He also works for the Drug Enforcement Administration undercover, and this is his persona. Saloon owner.
Wow. We're speaking with Adair Arlen. The book is called The House of Tomorrow. So, you know, Adair, what we would call that today, we'd call that a very good side hustle.
That's exactly right.
Right? He had a good side hustle that also worked for what he was doing. And then, just like you, he goes for a long weekend from Antigua, where he was staying with a DEA controller, his DEA controller, and boom, he does what you did, right? He falls in love with the island.
That's what happens to him. And eventually he says he's going to return, and eventually he does return. In future books.
In future books, I like that. So that's the idea. When you wrote The House of Tomorrow, the idea was, and you see this with some very prolific authors, they have a character and you want to know and follow that character more, and then there's more to tell. Did you find that when you first started to write that it just kind of poured out of you?
Well, I think writing is not easy. It's hard to me anyway. It's hard. I've heard of writers who say, "Oh, I just can't stop writing. I'm born to write," etc. But to me, it's hard work. I keep checking my watch. Can I quit yet? You know, have I done 500 words or 1,000 words or whatever it is? Because I get to the end of a scene and I'm stuck. I think, what happens next? And,
yeah.
And I have to reread what I've just written to meld gracefully into the next scene.
I like that. What happens next? So it's the cliffhangers that the cliffhanger that takes us through, because that's how you do a novel. And here you are, or here he is, also, in an island, on an island, and in a villa, very different from the start from Chicago. For your own personal life, did you ever think that your life would take this kind of a twist?
No, I never did. I thought I would just eventually get married and have a family and so forth and fade into obscurity. But no, I seem to have had a very, I've had some exciting times in my life.
I like that. I've had exciting times. Yes, living in a villa in Montserrat. Are you kidding? When you tell people, like, you didn't think you would end up here, when you tell people that you've written a book, you have these characters, you're taking them through other books, what do the people say? What do the people in the West Indies say?
Well, they've given me a couple of book readings, the library has. And this is an English island, by the way. It's what they used to call British Crown Colony, but now that sounds too colonial, so they call it British Overseas Territory. And so we are cared for by the English government. My husband happens to be English, so he fits in here. He lived in America for 20-plus years, and he said, it's time for me to go back to England. But England, when we got ready to move, we thought we'd be financially suicidal. So he did his homework, and we came here. He wanted an island which had plenty of fresh water, plenty of clean air, and was English-speaking, and was mountainous. And we've got that all here. It is mountainous.
Yeah, boy. I feel sorry for you, Adair. That's a rough life.
I'll take all the sympathy I can get.
I love that. Adair Arlen, the book is called The House of Tomorrow. Pick it up. You're going to want to go to Montserrat. You're going to want to go to an island somewhere in the West Indies, that's for sure. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Well, thank you for having me. It was my pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. We can't wait to see, by the way, what you do in the future, because we know that this story and your character will continue, and because he's juggling some pretty interesting things, I think it'll be fascinating. So again, thank you.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you. shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily, now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNLive.com. That's advertise at GCNLive.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Of Author's Corner. The name of the book is called Aftershock, and we've got Rita Giordano with us. Rita, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
So when I hear aftershock, the very first thing I think of, and I lived in California and lived through an earthquake, is an earthquake and the confusion and what that's like and all of that. And in aftershock, there is that depiction where you talk about end of time prophecies, and that there's so much mystery in that, and there's so much that people fear and want to know. So you've really unraveled a lot of this. What made you decide to tackle this in your novel?
Well, there was actually a series of events that happened in my life personally. I was a Sunday school teacher at the time, and I had a class of very young students who were mostly pastors' children. And they started begging me to start teaching them prophecies. And I told them, no, I shouldn't do that. Your parents may not like what I teach. No, 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 we want to know, and we will talk to our parents and explain why you're doing it. So as I started to talk to these kids, one of them was in third grade. Actually, my class was fifth and sixth graders, but at that time, I also had a third grader in my class. And these 10 or 11 students started explaining the prophecies to me. And it was so fascinating to me to have my students not only grasping what I was saying, but actually able to bring it to life from their point of view. And I just found that kind of an amazing experience. So we did a few weeks of that. And during those few weeks, I would go downtown and like someone in the market would look at me out of nowhere and say, "Do you understand the prophecies of the Bible? Can you explain Revelations to me?" I mean, who does that? And yeah. I just had one person after another. And it happened like three or four times while I was standing in a line at a market or a bank or something. And then I had a dream the night before I started the book. And the dream was that Jesus had come and I'd been left behind.
Wow. And that would be scary to wake up from that dream and think that and feel that for sure. And that's, is that part of why you thought, you know what, I got to get this out here?
Yeah, it actually, it made me angry that I felt I was attacked by the enemy of my soul. And yeah. I said, how dare Satan say that to me? I'm going to show him, and what can I do to get even with him? And I was praying about it. And I ended up saying, you know what, I'm going to write a book and explain it to everybody and warn everyone I can that Jesus is going to return.
Wow. And so you must feel great about the fact that you did it. You followed through. You didn't ignore that. And you did the book. And what has been the reaction to your book among the people you know?
They seem to really love it. Some people, I believe, are taken aback by it because there are things in it that maybe they don't quite agree with. But everybody that comes forward, they just love it. I've had pastors, I had a pastor friend tell me he got on his knees and asked the Lord to make him ready to go.
Wow.
And a couple of pastors have told me that. So I really, that was my goal, was to see people take the rapture of God seriously and yeah. the return of Christ. I feel we're living in a prophetic era. I feel like the prophecies of the Bible are being fulfilled all around us. I believe that's why my students were so in tune with it, because the Word of God says, shut up the prophecies of this book until the end of time and the Lord starts to reveal it. And these children are of this era. They started talking about it with such understanding and wisdom that I really felt it was for today, that it needed to be out there. I noticed a lot of pastors weren't preaching, and I understand why. It's a really tough topic to deal with.
Yeah.
And a lot of controversy surrounds it. And there is mystery, but the mystery is kind of what makes it exciting and fun. And I woke up and I thought, I'm just going to write a book and just make it fun as I can and explain it as well as I can to people.
So for you, when you were doing, you know, even though you know what you know, you had to do some research and then you have to wrap it in a novel. What was the toughest part about writing the book? Was it trying to meld the story with your beliefs?
Actually, it just kind of poured out of me.
Nice.
But, you know, as a Bible teacher, I am a storyteller from the start. But also, it just kind of poured out of me. However, I did go back. I had to confirm everything I was saying, make sure that I was reading it in a way that I hadn't just been taught by ministers and different people that were Bible scholars, but that I agreed with what I was thinking, what I had been taught. And that was a search, and it took me on a little journey, which I found very enlightening and actually pretty fun. For me, I love the Bible.
Right.
So it was just exciting to read all these prophecies and be able to look at them and say, wow, all this is really going on right now, and how wonderful it is to be a part of talking to people about this in any format.
Yeah, we're speaking with Rita Giordano, and the name of the book is Aftershock. And when you look at all the prophecies, is there one that in particular really sticks out for you?
I think it would be, Behold, I Come Quickly. You know, I think that we just have to realize that he is coming, and it's going to be quickly. A lot of people, the Word of God says that some will kind of fall asleep. But this is a call to wake up and understand that he is coming quickly, and that he is also wanting to take back a church that is watching and waiting for him. So if we are watching and waiting for his return, we'll be there when he comes.
And in the book, I want to say, too, it's a novel, and you talk about Carly as the main character, beautiful, successful, great boyfriend, and then all of a sudden it changes, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm a churchgoer, so for me it was easy to wrap the story around people who attended church, and to bring out the fact that going to church doesn't necessarily mean we're going to be ready to see Christ when he returns. You know, in her case, she was caught up with what I would call our American idols, which is beauty, prosperity, all the glitz and glamour of everything around her. And Christ was not really the head of her life. He really wasn't. Even though she attended church, he was not the person she was waiting for. And so I think that, you know, when I say I wanted to write a book that would warn people, this is where the warning came in. Her boyfriend, a pastor son, was much more interested in making her happy than doing the work that he knew God had called him to do. So where does that leave us when Christ returns if we're not waiting, watching, and caring till he comes?
Right. What happens? So interesting. What do you hope people take away from reading Aftershock, Rita?
I hope that people will find that it's absolutely a fun thing and not be terrorized by prophecies. I would like for people to have more understanding, and I would like for people to really get serious about Christ. It is really, in the end, it's all about souls.
I like that. In the end, it's all about souls. Yeah.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Powerful. Aftershock. Rita Giordano. You can pick up the book on Amazon.com. Rita, thanks so much for spending time with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.